This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we're live. We're here. It's Thursday. The cast and crew of the day consist of Pumelele Mashiro.
Good morning.
Sia, your usual friend, and Gugu, our part-time lover this morning.
Oh, is that the title?
That's what we're casting you as, yeah.
Okay.
All right, and we've got lots of other exciting things happening this morning, including the burning platform.
Sorry, I'm still stuck on part-time lover. Wasn't expecting it to go there.
Well, frankly, it's just one of my favorite songs. I didn't know what else to call Gugu.
So. Don't you love that song?
Oh, Stevie Wonder.
It's so cool. Have you never heard it, Sia? Let me play it for you. You'll know it when you hear it. Everybody knows this song.
Don't worry, Sia. You're not alone.
Okay, there we go. Now you got me. Yes.
Here it is. Just take a listen.
Oh, she goes.
No, it's not that one. You're thinking, watch out, boy, she's a man eater.
Yes, okay. I do know the song. I do.
Have you heard the words? Did you actually listen to the words?
Hey, you know,
sing. Before weekend special, huh?
We sing a lot of nasty things.
The phone to let me know you made it home. Nothing could be wrong.
Okay. I don't know how that song makes you think of me, Gareth. I'm just saying.
We need a little video
of a chick.
Hold on.
Keep doing this.
Beautiful.
You missed it. Too slow.
Great song.
He stopped dancing.
Everybody calm down.
Jeez, goodness, calm down.
Look, really calm down.
There are plenty of opportunities on the internet to see me being a moron.
Part-time lover didn't fit into my morning playlist this week because they're very varied. I know
they change all the time. What did you listen to on your way in this morning?
This morning,
listens to outrageously camp stuff on his journey into work.
No, but you know, it might go from old school funk to rap to bubblegum pop. Because this morning it was Rod Stewart and who else?
Oh,
is
yeah,
it?
Bo.
People get ready.
Oh wow.
Dance, Georgia. Then it went into the newest Katy Perry.
Yeah.
And then it went to old school Cisco as well. It's just like...
It doesn't say train to Georgia. It says train are coming.
Ah, that's why I knew. You know, sometimes this boom, you don't have to get particular. It's a feeling. Are you sure there's no Georgia in that song? What is the name of that song
Yeah,
called?
No, you mix up songs. Like, you've got two different songs going on in your head there. Quickly, I have to
start... On a midnight train to Georgia.
Let me just start with a correction from yesterday, because, you know, it's these little things. If you let the little things slip, the big things stop making sense.
Mm.
So I apparently laughed when I said that Miley Cyrus had broken up with Chris Hemsworth. In fact, it is Liam Hemsworth. But I still struggle to know who's who. Chris Hemsworth is Thor, right?
Yes.
What's Liam Hemsworth famous for again?
He's also an actor, but he was in The Hunger Games. And then Liam and Miley actually starred in a movie together back in the day as well. Yes, that's the difference between the two. And then there's also another Hemsworth brother.
I had to correct myself, so there we go.
And they're brothers.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Do you have any idea who these people are?
For me, he's going to
look. I know who Thor is.
Okay.
Yeah. Thor, everybody knows who Thor is, especially if you have a child.
Right? Yeah. I know who Thor is.
Okay.
Which one is he on The Hunger Games?
Liam.
Thor and Liam are not the same person.
I know. Okay. I'm just saying which one is. Liam is the one in The Hunger Games.
And the main dude.
Oh, that naff guy.
What in the 90s is going on? Did you just use the word naff?
All right, this is Liam Hemsworth, this one. Yeah. right.
Yeah, okay.
He kind of looks a little bit like Thor. He's what is he? He's a bit thinner. He's younger.
Darker.
Yeah. Thor is kind of blonde and much bigger.
So are the Hemsworths the new Baldwins?
I think they are, yeah.
Oh, the Baldwins.
The Baldwins have fallen apart. I mean, listen.
Wow.
So how many Baldwins are there? Like 20 of them. Let's just think. I know there's Alec Baldwin, right? We all know Alec Baldwin, third rock from the... I mean, Thirty Rock.
Does a good Trump impersonation.
Greatest Trump impersonation. Mm-hmm. And he's a well-known actor. He's done loads and loads of really funny and very clever movies. And he's got quite a lot of good reputation, but he's also got...
He's
got the anger issues. Remember, is that tape that was released of him berating his daughter. And he had that ugly breakup with Kim Basinger.
Yes.
So that was Alec.
Yes.
Then there's William Baldwin, Billy Baldwin, who was in like two movies. And I don't know a lot about him. But apparently he's a bit of a fiend as well. He's not exactly well behaved. Then there's Stephen Baldwin, who's a loser. He's also like some kind of conspiracy theorist and a bit of a nutcase. Who else is there? How many Baldwins are there? I mean, I know there's more than that.
Daniel
like
Baldwin.
Five.
Daniel Baldwin.
Does that sound familiar to anyone?
Well, I can't remember who he is, which one. But
Daniel's also an actor. He starred in things like Stealing Candy, a 2002 movie.
Yeah,
Vampires,
nobody watched that. Daniel Baldwin is quite fat. Yeah, I remember him.
And then he also famously appeared on the Celebrity Rehab reality show.
Yeah, you see?
That's why we don't really know him. And then the most famous Baldwin now is married to Justin Bieber.
Hmm.
That's Hailey Baldwin.
Oh, right. She's not a...
Is she also one of the...
She's not a Baldwin brother, but she's a Baldwin
She's the daughter of Stephen Baldwin.
They're an epidemic, aren't they?
I have not thought of the Baldwins in a while.
I know. What a family.
Because we're talking about families in Hollywood, mm-hmm. I was then trying to Google somebody, and then I've just come across Kirk Douglas, who's still alive.
He's still alive.
He's 102 years old.
102.
This article is from...
Well, he's been in our death pool
August
since
12.
I started radio, and I always get him. He's always on my list for the death pool, and I'm never going to...
You're never going to win.
No.
I thought he was a sure thing. I mean, when he had that stroke, remember?
How? Bagwit.
Don't you remember what he talks like now?
Well, does he talk?
Well, listen to this, all right? Sorry. This is him not so long ago on TV. This is after his stroke.
You know, I have learned so much from my helicopter crash.
Hmm.
That's from my stroke.
Mm-hmm. What?
Because first of all, you learn that things can always be worse. I'm here. I don't speak as well as I used to.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Oh.
But I mean, he's still going strong, 102 years old. Didn't he come in? He used to do the news sometimes with us.
Yes.
He'd come in and do the news.
And there's something still womanizer-esque about Kirk in my mind right now.
What? He's been married to the same woman who's 100 years old. She is also still alive. 65 years.
I think she's 100 years old. Yeah, she's 100. No, there's still... Because he was like that male lead. In my mind, this is how I think...
Yeah, he's golden Hollywood.
This is how I think things are going to pan out. Kirk's wife is going to pass away soon. Then... Michael Douglas is going to pass away.
But Kirk will still be
there. Kirk will still be there, will fall into the arms of Catherine Zeta-Jones, Bob's your uncle.
You reckon, huh?
Bob's your uncle.
You figured it out.
Ha! Ha! Kirk doesn't...
That sounds like the Douglases in The Bold and the Beautiful.
It does sound like The Bold and the Beautiful. Who still watches that, by the way? What's happening? Are they still the same people?
I know that...
Is it still on?
One of the two stopped... playing in South Africa after it was eventually moved to like a midnight slot, and then either Days of Our Lives or Bold and the Beautiful, one of
the
two.
Well, wait, come on, we need someone in our audience who's smart about these things to let us know if Days of Our Lives or Bold and the Beautiful are still a thing.
So I think Bold and the Beautiful might still be a thing, because last year wasn't Brooke here?
Bold and the Beautiful got cancelled.
Like Brooke was here
for South Africa.
It got cancelled?
Mm.
I wonder what people could... No wonder we're in the economic decline. That was all people lived for. The bold and the beautiful. Without that incest, how the hell would you get through your day?
Yeah, March of 2019, sorry. Earlier this year, actually. After 21 years on South African television, they stopped airing it.
Andre says, you guys got to watch The Dressmaker, which stars Liam... what's his name?
Hemsworth.
You got to watch it. A bloody good movie. That's according to Andre. And someone says, morning, Gareth Zimfundo. Gareth, Sia, Pumi, and Gugu. While on part-time road, what do you think on the show? Part-time is the silliest song. Check out the coconut song. Da coconut song.
What is the coconut song?
I didn't understand.
Let's have a look.
No, no.
We'll look for the coconut song.
Da coconut song. Let's have a look.
Oh, it's D-A space coconut. Okay.
Let me see. Da coconut song. I hope this isn't about black people who like act white, because that would we're engendering racism. Sounds like Disney.
Smoky Mountain.
I don't know what I'm listening to right now.
This is going to end badly for us all.
Coconut.
Yeah.
That's all they're singing about.
Except it's a
now, I'm kind of over that one already. How about you guys?
Wow. Yeah,
you done with it too?
Wow. That was a little Twilight Zone-y, but then again.
The facial expressions of everyone in this room. Everyone is just so lost.
It's like Baby Shark. I mean, I don't need to hear that ever again as long as I live.
Well, it reminds me of that song from Beetlejuice, that dinner party scene when they all go crazy.
Look, that is a classic song.
Oh, it's in the same vein of Da Coconut.
Bon.
Yeah. Can do without both of those.
I could.
I'll tell
you. And lump Baby Shark in there.
Don't need it, really.
I can draw up a list of at least 10 songs we can just throw out.
No. We'll manage without that stuff, I think. Right? I think we'll be safe. What I do like is the Queen of Vagina.
Absolutely.
That's a real song. All right, so according to one of our smart listeners who is paying attention and does know what's going on in the world of television, Days of Our Lives is still on the box. That's from Fatima. Thank you, Fatima.
Wow.
Days of Our Lives is still going, huh? How do you like that?
But John Black and Malena, did they ever make it to each other's arms?
Goodness.
That's some show, huh? Went on for a long ass time.
I think it's time to let this go. I just think we all need to move on. We're better off without this.
There you go.
Here is.
There you go.
See ya.
Like sand through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives.
Oh, come on.
It's nostalgic, though. You feel that.
Da-na-na. Even my grandmother doesn't watch this.
We used to come back from school to find this shit on TV.
Yeah.
Hey?
Do you remember our own soap that we used to do on when I was still on 5FM?
Yes.
We used to do Days of Our Mornings.
Mm-hmm.
which featured... There were lots of really interesting characters, but the best was... what was his name? Goldberg? No, it wasn't Goldberg. His name was Kronberg.
That was ahead of its time.
Yeah, Kronberg, the evil villain. And that was always set in a hospital or in a bank. Or there's always these things that like give it these themes of wealth or health or whatever they are. There's always one rich family, one poor family.
Yes.
Someone from the rich family falls in love with someone from the poor family.
Scandal.
Yeah. Mm. You got to make it, you know, give people a reason to watch this shit.
Tension.
Wow.
Now that has to come
but we've
back.
Been through
that
a few,
I'd vote for.
Because, I mean, look, Isidingo's still on, right? That's still going strong.
Yeah.
Generations? Generations has reinvented itself into
Generations. That is some show. I'll tell you what. Generations really did outlast a lot of shows. And people thought it would end. Do you remember the original Generations?
Yeah.
Remember this music?
This is the music I heard just before I went to bed.
What was your bedtime at 8 o'clock?
Archie Maraca.
I'm proud of you, Gareth. You watched all these things.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
And so, Igoli, guys, don't forget Igoli.
Blik van Goot.
Blik van Goot.
Backstage, remember that?
Goalie Black van Goot, they really can that. Like, it only had, maybe it had a long time.
It felt, did have a long time.
Did it?
It had a bloody long time. It was like...
Hey, did you see in the news yesterday who's been accused of sexually inappropriate behavior?
Uh-oh.
Another one?
Is that a South African?
New ones every day. Listen, at this rate, there are going to be no marriageable men left in the world. So this one's a, he's past his prime. He's definitely had a good innings,
past
and
his prime.
I don't feel so bad for him. Let me see if you can. I'll give you clues and you whittle it down.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, don't look. You don't go and Google or anything. All right. So he used to sing.
Julio Iglesias.
No, but
I'm surprised he hasn't.
Good guess. No, Julio Iglesias. He probably is the Me Too movement in.
Julio Iglesias, you start with, he used to play soccer, and then he sang.
Oh.
Julio Iglesias is great. I love Julio.
I love, what?
Julio's.
I love Julio Iglesias.
Julio doesn't, he does not just make love to these women. Mm-hmm. He first makes them fall in love with him.
And he sang that song, My Love Is.
Yes.
Yes,
mama. I'm telling you, Enrique doesn't know who his real mother is.
No, Enrique, and it's so weird because you are given birth to by a mother, so chances that you'll know her are probably better than you know your father. But
no, but please don't distract us from this. I need to know who this person is.
Wait. Go on. Gareth.
Singer, and Sia was close because he's got, there's a language connection.
Okay, so he's Argentinian, no?
No, Julio is from Spain. I think he's from Spain. I mean, he speaks Spanish. That's his home language.
Does anyone have another guess before we ask for another clue?
Yes. Okay. Let me give you a better guess than that. One of the three tenors. So one of them is dead. So it can't be
Pavarotti's
dead. It can't be Luciano Pavarotti. It can't be
one of the three tenors.
What was the other one? Jose Carrera. So Plácido Domingo.
What?
Plácido Domingo, the fat.
What?
The fat silver-haired one.
What?
Now, I mean, this game wasn't fun because who really remembers the three tenors anymore? So Plácido Domingo is apparently handsy.
Ooh.
He's got hands. Knows how to use them.
Well,
not in a good way.
Handsy is, handsy's not a, that's not a compliment. So he's apparently,
bloody ways.
Plácido Domingo.
Now these...
Guys, no one is safe.
These supposed allegations, do they happen...
Supposed allegations?
No, they are allegations.
Well, these allegations, these supposed acts, let's put it that way.
Yes.
Do they happen now or like way back when? Because he's 78 years old now.
I don't know, but you know what?
Age would never stop that kind of person.
If you're especially, a freak, you're a freak.
Yeah, especially in the Mediterranean. I mean, some of those guys...
In fact, I think the older they get, the
virile.
More like...
Freakier.
Scary they get
and
because
handsy.
Then you know it's like that uncle at the like at the family
creepy motherfucker
whatever, you know, the one that wants to kiss you on the mouth,
you know, Gareth, that that's not
they always the old men who like make a move on women and then they try to kiss them on the mouth with tongue
and they like they hug
drooling
you
and dribbling and,
he's that you
but they hug you and they,
come
here,
my
press, up, they press up really close,
you know? Ew.
I've seen that happen with gross old men.
It actually reminds me of something else we often talk about in the show. You, Gareth, still say that one day we'll get to a point where sex and pictures, nudes will be a thing of the past. Everyone will have so many that it won't even matter.
You can look up anyone and you'll find a nude of them, and therefore it won't be this titillating thing anymore.
Excuse the pun.
They won't go, you know, there are nudes of this person online. So everyone's online nude.
So I saw a bit of it happening now with a comedian called Whitney Cummings.
Yes.
You probably, if you know her, good for you. If you don't know her.
She was in Two Broke Girls.
Yeah, and she has a Netflix special. You've probably seen a movie with her. So back in April, she was on Instagram and she was posting a bunch of different stories. And the thing with stories is you often just post random things and you don't even think about it much. So one of the photos or quick videos that she posted was actually her. And she happened to be naked, but she thought she was just filming her face
as a
selfie video. And there was a point in the video where the camera tipped over a bit and went below and showed a bit of her breast.
Titties.
Someone was very quick to screenshot that, and she soon realized, like, oopsie, actually, I posted my boobs, so she deleted those stories. But of course, once something is screenshot, it's screenshot.
these imagine the little creep
who
The little creep who's sitting there going, oh, come on, Whitney, come on.
It's probably that old uncle. Yeah. Is that how they sound?
So, yeah, so her titties
are online
now.
It's like a young Mr. Burns.
So everyone can see her titties.
But it was the people who screenshotted first who were going back to her saying, listen, give us money.
What the hell?
We'll leak these. Give us money. Otherwise, we're going to send them out to people.
It's just boobs.
You know, I heard really good advice from someone once. If anyone tries to extort money from you that way, just say to them, go ahead. Because no matter how much you have to deal with in public, even if you're a well-known person, to let someone extort money from you once means they can keep coming back for more.
Actually, there's nothing stopping them because they'll have that.
So they'll tell you they've deleted it or whatever when you make a payment, but they don't really.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, so don't ever fall for that stuff.
And actually, you just stack it up. Yeah. So if you fall for it the first time, the next time they come around, they're like, yeah, but we'll tell everybody, we'll release these and we'll tell everybody you already paid us.
Correct.
You know, so it's just...
You get yourself into this very
ugly... It's like a pyramid of crap.
Pyramid of crap. That's our lesson for this morning. Pyramid of crap.
Well, Whitney took it a step further by saying, actually, I'm going to release my own nudes before you.
Good for
her. So she said, that's it. She posted her own nudes on social media. And then...
Oh, let's find them, Gareth.
Hey, I'm already looking.
Google's such a boy. But this is what I love even more.
I can't believe we just agreed that it's just boobs, guy.
Well, I don't know what she posted herself.
I'm looking.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would be this supportive, but then a lot of industry peers and friends of Whitney have started saying, actually, yeah, here you go. Here are my nudes as well. Here are my balls. here are my boobs as well.
You find anything,
we don't care about this at all.
I found a story in BuzzFeed. It's not really like sexy. She's got a sponge in her hand.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the original screenshot that these people took. So now she's like, actually, here you go.
She's not a bad looking woman. She's quite hot.
I think she's gorgeous.
And you know, good for her. Anyone tries to extort you, you just put out those nudes and let everybody see.
I think I don't know about the Me Too movement per se, but I think all of these nudes and whatnot and who this one dated or who this one had sex with. It's like
the Me Too movement, for all the good that it did, and I don't doubt that it did good in terms of getting people like, you know, Harvey Weinstein and people like Weinstein or whatever. What's his name again?
That's it.
Him and those other creeps who were doing this on the regular. For getting them kind of cast out from society and with real criminal charges on the way for a lot of these people if they're not already in jail. I think it's great that women stood up and said, we won't tolerate this anymore, because for the longest time, women have felt unsafe and men have treated women in an extremely disrespectful manner, and women have felt that they had to keep their mouths shut. So all of those good things notwithstanding, I think that the Me Too movement's become a bit of a joke now, because people don't really treat it the way that they did at the start of this discussion when it was really about serious allegations. Because remember, it eventually deteriorated into this thing where if someone says something slightly sexual or they make a bad joke, then, you know, there was that also, there was a very dodgy situation with a guy called, I want to say Avi, but I can't remember. He's like a B-grade actor.
Aziz Ansari. The comedian.
And he was... Basically, the whole thing was made up by some woman. And there have been a couple of situations like that that have really derailed the good that the Me Too movement has caused. Mm. And they've made it look like it's just a place where a lot of people can abdicate responsibility for sex that they regret and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I think it's lost all of its power and its steam now. It's kind of a joke. People only, they use it as like hashtag Me Too in conversations.
I started
with all good intentions.
Yeah, I don't want to sound naive, but I really do believe it played its part for what it was. And there might be still so much more happening that we aren't aware of or we don't see much on the news, with the fund and the whatnot.
What it does is it re-corrects. You know, these things are like a pendulum. Mm. So before Me Too, there was a little bit of a shrouded way in which people dealt with any kind of sexual harassment.
Right.
People were afraid. People wouldn't come forward. And what it did was it blew the top off that.
Right. I mean, now we got Epstein, who's committed suicide, who was supposedly running this what is it, like child sex ring?
Yeah.
We got Bill Cosby's in jail. Harvey's going to jail.
R. Kelly might be going to jail.
Yeah, he needs to go in jail. It's been too long.
That guy.
That's dragged on for how long now?
Ah, when you were listening to Chocolate Factory and Black Panties by R. Kelly.
I'll delete all of that.
Yeah, Black leave me alone. Panties. Yes. See ya.
That was either the name of his album or a song. Black Panties by R. Kelly.
That's great. Did anybody see Max Dupree and Helen Zille's fight?
Yeah, did I not tell? Oh, I think you were still in the studio. You were still in the studio with her last week when we after the burning platform. I still believe. I think her podcast should be called Tea with Gog Helen.
Well, I think that's what she's alluding to because I saw the aftermath.
I really
of all
do
of it.
Think it should be like, you know,
I saw, Tea with Gog I saw Helen. Her tweet Max afterwards.
Yeah, I said, Jesus.
Did you see Max?
No,
Max's clapback.
All right. So I'll give you, and this is what you have to look forward to.
We want to go to bed. People are just.
Listen to this. All right. So, Max Dupree and Helen Zille. So, Helen starts off. For the longest time, the woke media actually built up the EFF with what can only be described as fawning coverage. Now that the EFF has turned on them, they don't like it. This explains a lot. Max replies, "You seem to be enjoying the fact that the EFF is gunning for your old critics in the media. Problem is, the EFF is also targeting those journalists that never fawned over them. Contain your schadenfreude and focus on what is good for free speech. Intimidating the media isn't." So then she says, "No schadenfreude involved, Max. Do you believe journalists should constitute a special category of person who should enjoy more protection than everyone else? Is that good for free speech? Is that just and equitable? That seems to be the crux of the question." So he replies, "Actually, the crux is that journalists are being treated as a special category by the EFF, with license to intimidate, attack, threaten, and harass." Helen says, "No sweetness." Now it starts coming. "You seem to be looking in a mirror. EFF has countless special categories they attack. All whites, for starters. Blacks who don't agree with them. Landowners, especially farmers. Business, unless they're funding the EFF. Indians, and the list continues. Max says, perhaps you should look in a mirror for a change. You won't see the progressive liberal that you once were. Sweetness. Wow. Is that Engels for Bokkie or Poppy? Danke in elk geval." So Helen replies, "If you look in a mirror, Max, you will see exactly the same person I met over 40 years ago supporting the racial nationalism of the NP.
Oh, goodness.
After a sojourn in the world of non-racialism, you followed the left trend to racist identity politics again. Back to square one. Sad." So after having Helen here last week, she's definitely not behaving.
Well, then after all of that, I saw Helen tweet, "Hey Max, I'd like to talk to you. Let's have a..." What word did she use?
"Let's have tea sometime."
Like a respectable...
Said.
Yeah,
she said, "Let's have tea," like she did with Tuli, right?
Well, she's going to invite
him. And then
him.
Max came back to that as well.
What did he say?
Yeah, he was like, "Yeah, I'll come and have tea. I'll have the conversations as long as on the table we also have all of your, like, salacious..."
Yo!
He was like, "All of your accusations against me, as long as that is on the table too."
Sweetness.
I was just like, "Hey, guys, it's late. I gotta get up early in the morning.
Can you both just pour yourselves a stiff drink?
Tea with Gog
just
Helen.
Sit down
I'm
where you are
you.
And yeah, it would be keep good. Your fingers off the keypad.
Because tea, you know?
It's a very South African thing to sit and have tea and talk things over.
Yeah, and it's also, you know,
very English.
Makulu having
well.
Tea is also...
Yeah, that's right.
And tea can be spicy.
Yes, it can.
And it can also just be calming.
I say then we can extend this branding. Next thing,
and
you know,
she can get a rooibos sponsor.
But then you can drink tea. Then you can also drink Mqombo tea with Mkwebane.
Yes, that would be good.
Mqombo tea with Madonsela.
But don't forget...
Makumete, that's what we want to Makumete.
Mqombo tea with Msholozi, actually.
He doesn't drink.
Mqombo tea even.
Nothing.
Oh. Really?
Mm. He's a teetotaler, and that's what makes me suspicious.
Lemonade with Lil Dillo.
I'm very suspicious of anyone who's a teetotaler. They don't drink. Donald Trump, Jacob Zuma. I'm always suspicious of people.
Except
who
Donald
do
Trump
drink.
Does like American
Osama
wine.
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, birds of a feather.
All right. few things. Just I want to clear this up because we're talking about Sipping Tea, and the original Sipping Tea was a show here on Cliff Central
with
Tumi Morake and Mabali Moloi, and they deserve credit for having come up with the first incarnation of this. So if Helen steals that name, we're going after her. I'm getting lawyered up. She mustn't think she can.
That's because that's a whole other thing that's happening on these Twitter streets. People are just throwing suits at each other.
Like whom?
I mean, the legal fraternity in this country is booming
these days.
All right, let's get to some stories in the news, shall we? It's 6:30. Johannesburg. This is a story that involves any of us are concerned about water. Was the water supplied in Hammanskraal fit for human consumption?
Yeah.
Well, that is what the Human Rights Commission will be probing in its inquiry into water pollution challenges in the city of Tshwane. The probe follows negative water test results. HRC is widening an investigation into the treatment of people in Hammanskraal after tests found the water unfit for human consumption. You know, one of the things that we really have taken for granted for 30, 40 years is the supply of clean water in Joburg and Pretoria particularly. It's some of the best water in the world. It's a lot of it is artisanal water, which comes from the ground. A lot of it is really well filtered by all the dolomitic soil that we have here, and it's got minerals and nutrients. So it's really good quality water. And it doesn't require a huge amount of purification, but they do kill all the bacteria in it with some chlorine, and they make sure that it's filtered again a couple of times just so that when it gets to your tap, you can drink it straight from the tap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people in this country do drink and get their water straight from the tap, and they don't need to do what they have to do in some places, like burning the primas so that you can put a pot of water on top of it before you drink it, and you can boil off all the dangerous stuff.
And a little bit of bleach.
Yeah, and some bleach and stuff like that that you have to sometimes put in. We've taken that for granted. Now suddenly, like so many other things that haven't been maintained for the last 15 years, it seems that we have to start questioning whether or not the water is fit for human consumption. And of course, well, who does it hit first? Who does it strike at before it strikes at people like us who have a platform to discuss these things? The poor.
People who have not many options.
They go to the tap, they fill up containers, and they take it back because they don't have running water at home. Some of these people, they have to walk for miles to get their water, and then when they take it home, normally just to drink, to stay alive, you need water. What happens? They get sick. So that's what's been happening in Hammanskraal.
I don't know about you, but there's an extra low to me that's extremely annoying in these cases when the basic human needs are just not met. It's like, come on, people. You know, if you can't give people safe, clean water, if you can't give people proper loos to use, it's like, why can't we get the basics right? You know, and I know we might get frustrated, but if there are no textbooks received in time, well, if it's a functioning school and at least kids are getting some form of education, it's not an ideal situation, but at least something is being done. But when you're getting the basics wrong,
people
can't drink water.
I'm afraid, like, water and electricity, the two things that will keep us in the 21st century rather than send us hurtling backwards are two things which we've relied on government to supply, and we've learned a hard lesson that way. The state cannot supply these things. And don't get me started on NHI because I've got an email we'll get to later on that. So that's the first thing you need to know this morning. If you're in Hammanskraal, don't drink the water, and the Human Rights Commission are probing it. Then, while we're in Tshwane, let's just stay there. There are electricity hikes beginning in December, which means that they are going to charge more for prepaid customers, 13.07%. These are obviously people who pay in advance, and when their electricity runs out, it runs out. They're going to get a 13% increase, as approved by NERSA. They also approved the city's proposal, and it was met by opposition from AfriForum, but no one else. They went to court to reverse the city's decision to implement the increase. In court, both parties proposed to engage in talks with each other and suspend the legal route to solve their impasse. That's adult, and I applaud them for that, because normally they go straight to the lawyers. They then agreed that the city would reverse tariff increases on July the 1st until NERSA's final determination on the matter. On the 11th of July, the energy regulator convened a public hearing during the city's offer to reimburse customers who've already purchased electricity at higher rates, but it remained to be seen how it would approach the repayment. So, if you were in Tshwane and you bought prepaid electricity on the higher price, they were going to reverse that, pay you back, until they'd come to a decision.
Like, but how would they know? I have prepaid electricity at my house,
yeah.
Right? So you get the little slip you at spa or whatever, you get the little slip and mm-hmm. it's got a pin and that's what you put into. I don't know where those slips are. Like, no, I don't know where last month's slip
is. As soon as you yeah. put the thing
you know,
in.
I don't know where last month's slip is.
Yeah.
So if somebody were to say to me, they will reimburse me for whatever I spent, how am I going to?
So I don't know how this works either, but it would appear that this is one of those areas where, again, they expect people to have the documentation and be able to prove it, but they know deep down inside people don't have it, so they're not going to be asking for their money back. And you've therefore paid a whole lot more than you needed to. But we'll see what happens because, of course, there are looming escalations in electricity prices for everybody. So
everywhere.
Let this be a warning. Ex-EFF members have launched their own party. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Because Twitter detectives, you know, we love Twitter detectives. It's yeah. how we watch Date My Family. put out pictures of that couple and in their ATM outfits.
Yeah.
So are they EFF or are they ATM?
No, they're called the African Federal Convention.
Yeah, but before that. So they are in that white outfit. You know Jimmy's white outfit with
Mzwanele.
The church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mzwanele and his that one.
Okay.
There's pictures of them in that outfit. That girl and that guy. But where did they get that uniform? You know, guys, political parties. I think we should start a political party here on the burning platform.
Thank you very much. Canthan did.
No, but our own burning platform won.
Here's the splinter parties led by a guy called Vusi Mate, who is a former KZN EFF leader and member of the provincial legislature. He said they were striking out on their own in order to bring economic emancipation to all South Africans. He said they intended to restore the current political order. This is the day we've been waiting for. I love how we pay attention to people like that. All right, so just pretend I didn't read that story. It's not important. It's really not important. And the provincial police ombudsman of the Western Cape, Johan Brandt, wants to have his way. Abalone poaching would be classed, along with rhino poaching, as an organized crime and investigated by the Organized Crime Unit of the South African Police. This is one of the recommendations. You know, abalone...
I thought abalone was like classified like that.
I thought so too. Clearly, it's being investigated because it's just ordinary crime, but he wants it to be called organized crime so that they can put their best people on it.
Hmm.
I don't know this abalone thing. It seems to me, I mean, I've never eaten it.
Is abalone perlemoon?
Perlemoon, yeah.
Yeah, I think they should stop using the word abalone and just...
Perlemoon.
Perlemoon.
It's a good name.
Perlemoon.
But I don't know much about perlemoon. I don't see what the... Do people eat it? I mean, I don't even know what happens. Know nothing about this stuff.
None of us know about it, Gareth.
And let's leave it that way, shall we? I mean, there's probably a good reason.
No, I think we should make a concerted effort to get perlemoon in
here. We'll get a perlemoon expert. No, if we get it in here, we'll be arrested. But we can get an expert.
Yeah, but you can get it legally, man.
Can you?
Yeah.
See, I know nothing. So yeah, let's get an expert.
Oh, it's often used as well as a means of trade in the underworld. Like, it's often exchanged for drugs.
What, do they use the shells or do they use the...
Okay, well, look, there's reading to be done.
I honestly, there's some things in the world I know zero about. There are a lot of things. This is one of them. Zero. Know nothing about perlemoon and abalone.
Some research to be done.
Will there be an exodus of doctors due to the implementation of the NHI? Media reports have suggested the country could face a massive shortage of healthcare practitioners. Research conducted by the trade union Solidarity indicated over 80% of healthcare workers believe private doctors will emigrate if the NHI bill is implemented. The Board of Healthcare Funders said this is news to them. Dr. Rajesh Patel from the BHF said, I've seen the headlines over the weekend regarding people that are leaving the country. BHF administers the practice code numbering system, and as far as we're concerned, what we see, we don't see a rush of resignations. Well, it's
I think you should read that email from Robin. I think you should read Robin's email, because Robin's email was, it just, for me, put a very real and human face to some of the struggles that professionals within the healthcare sector.
Because we always think doctors are just, you know, they get paid a huge amount of money and it's a great life and everybody wants to be a doctor. The reality couldn't be further from the truth. Mm. Here's what Robert says.
Because most people become doctors because they have a calling. They want it because they have a soft heart for sick and wounded people.
They want to figure things out and help cure people and stop disease in its tracks and so on. So listen to this. This is Dr. Robin Spring. She says, I've been enjoying your discussion about the NHI. I'm not enjoying the topic in general, though, but I am impressed with the team's insights into the matter. You've all been very helpful. One of the concerns regarding the NHI I have is who exactly is going to staff it. At this stage, I have received no information from the Department of Health as to what they expect my role to be. Will I be able to continue in my private practice? It looks like I am going to be compelled to see patients at the rate the Department of Health determines, which goes against the Competition Act, actually. And then I hear now that we won't be able to order other medications that I am accustomed to using. There will be restrictions on what procedures I will be able to perform. Oh. It feels a lot like my freedom will be restricted. As it was when community service for doctors was enforced, it seems like we are an expendable commodity to the Department of Health with very little regard to our dignity. I know as doctors we are bound up by the Hippocratic Oath, and yes, the needs of my patients outweigh those of my family and my own, to my detriment, I often realize. So as a principal doctor, my patients have to come first, and I will always do the best I can to serve my community. But I really wish the department would back off and allow me to do that. I realize it's a bit whiny and self-centered, but I also realize that we all know it's going to be a disastrous thing for the patients. No one is thinking about those doctors who will stay, those like me, who really do care about our patients, who want to keep making a difference. My only hope is that the system will be implemented so slowly that I will be able to educate my daughter and retire before I am compelled to be the department's slave. Because that's what doctors will be. No choice in how we work, where we work, how much money we can accept for work done. Anyway, I thought I'd weigh in and I'd have a great day, Robin.
Wow.
Mm. Never heard a better argument against. And that's from a person who's in it, and she's heard nothing from the department. And you'd think they would go around and first canvass doctors.
Yeah, because nurses, I mean,
patients.
We always thought that these bills, when they're tabled at Parliament, have been through some kind of consultative process. They've been some kind of...
Well, that's, I think, still coming with the NHI, because the bill's only just been tabled now.
So it's at white paper level.
Yeah, correct.
You know, so, I mean, those things are interesting and fascinating, but Robin's email for me when I read it, I just thought, geez, you know, they are, and this is a good South African who wants to stay, who wants to make it work, who wants all of these things, but there's just not enough information out there for her just yet. But also, you know, this is one of the things that often happens to us, is even things that affect us as deeply as that, we don't have the time, or we don't make the time to go through. I mean, that NHI bill is how many pages long, you know? Who's going to sit through and read all of that stuff and figure out what pertains to you and what doesn't? So it's just pleasure. It's a proper, like...
Well,
pleasure.
According to you know, one post that I saw on social media over the weekend from someone who does know about these things, with government controlling the funds while outsourcing the patient administration, it's clear that the NHI is a get-rich-quick scheme from massively increased taxes on a shrinking taxpayer base. That's the real target here, is money. The government doesn't actually care about your health at all. And no healthcare will improve. I mean, look at how bad healthcare is in the public sector at the moment. No one wants to go to a public hospital, so it's not as if government are by default better administrators of health.
Or
anything, right. South Africans currently do receive free healthcare at state hospitals and clinics around the country. All the NHI does is shift the burden of responsibility to the private healthcare system, which will see the total collapse of both systems and lead to a shortage of hospitals, clinics, and healthcare professionals.
Sorry, may I understand that again? All the NHI will do is shift the responsibility?
Shift the burden to the private healthcare system. So they're co-opting a system that works in order to kind of jigger their bad system back into appropriate working conditions. They think that by co-opting some of the money and the resources of the private healthcare industry, they can fix their leaking, sinking, creaking cart. So it's a way of transferring the responsibility and the burden of that responsibility to people outside of government, even though government wants to be the one to administer it. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, that's the news.
Yeah, our discussions earlier this week really got me thinking. I'm like, yeah, if they want to trial things like this out, they must have a year of practice. So everyone who's for it in the government must experience it themselves for a year. They must go and stand in Barra for a line there and wait to get seen by a doctor.
So, you know, one of the things
that... Their kids must go to government schools for a year. Let's see.
One of the things that we've become particularly good at here in South Africa is fantastic ideas on paper. Fantastic ideas on paper and very little by ways of implementation. I mean, from the jump, you know, from when it was RDP was the plan. Now we are at NDPP. You know, we've got fantastic ideas, a fantastic constitution on paper. Yeah. But the reality and the implementation and the on-the-ground stuff.
But even on paper, this NHI is a bad thing.
What I have read is a utopian way of kind of say, you know what I'm saying? It really is. It's a, if we can make this work, what it will do is it, you know, it'll...
I saw Cyril speaking to the Women's League.
It will aggregate for everybody. It sounds
the minute you anything utopian should be in a fiction novel, because there is no way. I mean, human beings, you're not taking into consideration the nature of human beings. Mm. And the fact that actually, in a pinch, you're going to look to your own family and you're going to look to your own people and protect your immediate tribe. Mm. And then everybody else be damned. That's how people are. That's the whole point of making money. First, the first purpose of making money, long before you get to the philosophical stuff, is so that you can secure your family. So you can secure your, if your children get sick, if your mother or father gets sick, that you can seek appropriate help for them. That's why you want money. Because if you leave it to someone else to look after them, they don't love those people as much as you do. Mm. You got to do whatever you can to protect those people. And I'll tell you, when you get to a point where you threaten people's physical health because you're asking government to take over that responsibility, that is a reason for people to make a decision against you in a way that they've never had to make a decision like that before. You're actually getting into their bodily health. It's a very dangerous... This is such a dangerous track to go down. And look, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen because the government's already run out of money and there's no more money coming in and the taxpayer base is shrinking and the economy is not growing and all the things that the Cyril fans were saying is going to happen hasn't happened. So they're in huge trouble. They're going to have to go to the IMF and they're going to have to ask for money because the IMF are the only people in the whole world who can lend them enough money. And then the ANC isn't really in charge of the country anymore. So let's just put that aside for the moment. It's moot.
And even if it does look good on paper, our track record should inform us to make more responsible decisions.
Yeah, because we've seen how...
To not be taken by
our government has administered other things. Mm. So I hear you, but utopianism just does nothing for me because it's pie in the sky. It's just completely made up. And it's living in a wish-thinking world, which is nonsense. So anyway, we'll get to that because I know Canton's written an article about the NHI and we'll ask him what his opinions are when we get to the burning platform next. Now, for many of us, our schooling career included going to university once you finished high school. But as online learning becomes one of the fastest growing industries, the modern world is quickly moving away from traditional universities. I think the idea of a campus and going to university is going to be a non-thing in 10 years' time. I don't think anyone's going to actually go to university. I think they'll cease to be the institutions they are now. Do we even need them? And if so, how do they need to remain relevant by changing? This is the latest topic being tackled on The Interchange, which is a podcast series featuring some of the best university debaters debating critical and controversial issues in South Africa and in Africa as a whole. You can listen to The Interchange on cliffcentral.com. You can get it on our app or wherever you get your podcasts, and it's made possible by Absa and Tsimong. If you haven't heard any of the episodes yet, I strongly advise you to take a listen, especially if you think we don't have smart people in our universities figuring out the way around controversial and relevant issues.
Sure. That's going to be quite a thing.
No, they are quite smart.
I went to a small, like, post-school environment.
Yeah.
But I still liked the time on campus. You know, I still liked hanging out on the wall.
Yeah, that's a social
in the
thing.
Sun. Yeah, in absolutely. The, you know, all of sure. those things. With, and but also, what I got out of that, and I really hope that even as the universities change and find a different way of being, they can keep some of that going, is sure. I have professional relationships that were
networks,
built.
Yeah.
That were built when I was there. Mm. To this day. And, man,
I think that is the
priceless.
biggest payoff.
It is.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
how
I
ended up, yeah, you know. Mm. Through networking, that's how I met Spike.
How did you end up here?
I'm not. Actually, let's chat about that real quick, Gareth.
No, let's go to...
It took where, hold on, okay?
No, let's go to Ngobile. No one really cares about your career trajectory so
no,
far.
No, they do.
Gugu. Ngobile, what's up? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
See, he doesn't want to talk to you.
No. Okay, so let's get back to you, Gugu, now that we've got a moment.
I knocked on this door for 3 years, Gareth.
And we ignored you.
And you ignored me, just like you normally
do. Did I ignore you?
Well, I don't know who ignored me, but I mean, I sent mails, I pulled in.
Did we ever not
look
reply?
At the tenacity of your spirit, Gugu?
Three years of knocking
on doors.
Well done, Gugu.
Finally, I walk in, Yarina's like, hey, aren't you that guy?
Yeah.
Who's been coming here for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it is I. You know, so yeah.
So you basically.
I'm that guy.
You basically ground us down. That's how you got this job.
Yeah.
You ground us down.
Yeah. And we're here now.
Until we were so sick of you, we just thought, oh.
Yeah, just let him
just
in.
Let him in.
Let him in. Fuck. Pain in the ass.
Well done.
Booga man.
Thank you. I'm sitting here. I'm in the studio.
I think that's terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
Wonderful.
Well done, Gugu. All right, it's 6 minutes to 7. What we've got coming up
already?
In a moment. I know. This morning's going so quickly.
The week is going so quickly.
And we have a lot to talk about. So in the Burning Platform, next with Nando's and Canthan Pillay, we will find out all about what the... most important issues of the day are. Like, for example, who does Bernie Sanders go when he wants to talk about the most important issues? Cardi B. You didn't know that.
Because
she sat
little
with,
bitch, you can fuck with her.
That's right. That's what she says.
Okay.
So she sat down with Bernie Sanders to talk about low wages in America. Of course, she was a stripper once, so she knows about low wages. And it was a very interesting conversation. We'll tell you about that in a while. Nobile, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, great line. It's really, it sounds terrific.
Amazing. Fuck.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, a deaf man can hear you.
I'm in a place where the building is intentionally designed to block out signals.
What's up, man? What's up?
No, guys. I was just saying, I want to give up on humans. I want to be a hermit now. Because mm-hmm. I've been doing research, basically, on this whole ESPN thing. And, ESPN is just the recent one, but it's more or less something that I'm intrigued by, this whole sexual scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And humans suffer from cognitive dissonance that is unbelievably asinine.
Sure.
For example, what I've noticed is people complain about the government, yet we still have a government system.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know. But there's that cognitive dissonance there. People will try to justify it anyways, but it is proven throughout centuries that a governmental system actually in this format is poor. And I don't buy this whole Churchill thing of democracy is the worst, was the best of the worst. No. That
so what would you prefer? I mean, like, what's your favorite system for administering?
No, that's the thing. That's the thing is that...
do you want anarchy?
Absolute anarchy.
Are you like Ramon from the Renegade Report who wants anarchy?
No. Hear me out.
Uh-huh.
Humans are not anarchists by nature.
Yes.
If you look at the, if we relied on nature, like how, if you look at nature, is it anarchy? I don't think it's anarchy.
No.
If you look at, if you go to the Kruger National Park and you observe all these wildlife, it's not anarchy.
No,
it's a balanced system.
Mm-hmm.
If humans can mainly remain within a natural law state, rather than a man-made state, I believe it would be better. But like I said, I'm not advocating a particular idea. I'm just saying it is more better to be more natural than man-made, in my view. Because humans, what I've noticed is, with this espionage, a lot of, all of a sudden, they, it's
Epstein.
A conspiracy.
Is that you're talking? Are you talking about the
Jeffrey?
Jeff Epstein. Jeffrey, yeah, okay, all right.
Jeffrey, yeah. This guy, right? This is not the first time this particular kind of scandal has happened. Back in the 80s, there's the Franklin scandal with similar big, huge scandals. And guess what happened to the madame who's exactly in the same position as Epstein?
Tell me.
What happened?
No.
She hung herself.
Oh, right. So these things, there's a conspiracy theory going on here.
It's not a conspiracy anymore. You can clearly see there is basically evidence of cover-up.
Can I just quickly, because we're going to run out of time before the burning platform, I want to go back to something you said. You prefer a natural law thing, like survival of the fittest. Is that what you're saying? Because then we're going to have a lot of people left behind, and there are going to be a lot of people who are going to fall through the cracks.
I don't want to use the phrase survival of the fittest, because it's not necessarily about that. It's just about the one who is, let's say, who knows how to put down resources, because you don't need to be a big brute to survive. You just need to be a cunning person who knows how to, do things. But you can create laws. Like, look at a family unit. If you look at a family unit, there is no written law that says you must do this, but there is a common understanding that, look, this is my father, this is my mother. I need to actually respect their authority. It comes natural to a baby to respect that authority of a parent. The only time the child starts disrespecting a parent and becoming a very bad child is when the child gets exposed to other elements that basically say, no, your parent is actually not that good. The parent is actually crap. And if you look at, as I said, if you mirror it with nature, the way the lions in a pride work, the way, for example, dogs, I forgot the group of dogs.
Wild dogs.
So if you look at all those kinds of formations of families, there is already a natural built-in structure that is behavioral biology. And, you know, Dr. Sapolsky explained it beautifully, and I love his new book, Behave, where he's trying to explain why do humans do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a government to tell us, hey, you need to do this. You don't need a government to do this. You just need a community of understanding.
So you are...
And we can do that.
I hate to break it to you, but you're an anarchist.
That's
what you call people like you. You don't believe that we need a government. You want
define anarchy.
It's the lack of a government. That is precisely what anarchy
is. Is that how you define it? Because I've heard different variation of anarchy definition.
Yeah, that's what anarchy is, as I understand it.
Yeah, all right. That's the thing.
Nobile, as usual, you've come in so late that we have to get to the burning platform, so I'm going to let you go.
Okay, no problem.
All right, my man.
Cool.
He's grappling with very complex topics so early in the morning.
So early in the morning.
My brain hurts after imagining that we would prefer natural law to any kind of government. I don't know.
This is CliffCentral.com.